Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Sadly, you've lost a loved one. You're experiencing complicated grief and don't know what to do. You feel you're losing your mind, or you're experiencing a dark night of the soul due to some painful life challenges and can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage or relationship and feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you're a student and struggling with your self-esteem and suffer from test anxiety. Or you're a business person hitting the glass ceiling and struggling in your business and need a breakthrough. Or maybe you simply need to retreat and hear yourself think so you may recharge and refocus. Whatever the challenges you face, Victorious Living has developed a solution for you. Call Victorious Living at 1-721-524-8731, 1-721-522-2084, or 1-888-VICTORY. That's 1-888-388-4286. Or visit us at victoriouslivingfoundation.com and transform your life today.
This is Love and Inspiration with Roy Cotton Jr. And it's time now, actually, for another powerful interview. As always, here on your favorite radio show, you are always in time for a really great, powerful interview. And today, I am joined by another wonderful guest. And as I mentioned before, this is someone I have great respect for. And I'm talking about Reverend Corrine White Richardson. And she's on the show today. And the reason why she's on the show is because she has a very powerful story to share with you. And maybe some of you know who she is, and maybe some of you don't. But today you've got the privilege of Love and Inspiration to hear all about what Reverend Corrine White Richardson, who is one of the circuit ministers here at the Methodist Church on St. Martin. And that's on the southern side of the island of St. Martin. So let's hear what she has to say today. But as I join her, I want to just let you know that Reverend Corrine White Richardson is someone who has a heart of gold, really loves people, and is just really doing God's perfect will in the lives of many here on St. Martin and whoever she's been able to touch over the years. A very pleasant good day and welcome to the show, Reverend. How are you doing today? Good to have you on Love and Inspiration. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you for having me on your program, Mr. Cotton. And hello to our listeners. It is indeed a great day.
Indeed. Such a pleasure to have you on the show. I know when we spoke, you were super excited about being on Love and Inspiration because you are a person that I've come to know that really has so much to share and really want to see persons prosper in life, but moreover, live a life fulfilling as God has created them to be. So having you on the show today is really awesome. And not only for here on St. Martin that everyone is listening to you, but over the Eastern Caribbean, the Americas, Europe, and of course, with this interview being also heard on Bashani Radio in New York, you're going out to over 2 million listeners worldwide. How does that feel, Reverend Corrine White Richardson?
It is indeed such an honor and a privilege to be a part of your program and to be a part of this wide audience. It's an honor and I give God all the glory.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Corrine White Richardson is from a lovely Caribbean island, and I want you to try and figure out the accent before she gives it away. And she attended the University of West Indies and United Theological College of the West Indies, where she received a Bachelor's of Arts degree in theology and a diploma in ministerial studies, respectively. And today on the show, you're going to hear more about what she's been up to over these years in her life and much more. So let's give it away then, Reverend Corrine, if you would like to, if persons haven't figured out where your accent is from. So where were you born, Reverend?
I am a Jamaican. I am a born Jamaican.
Oh, I hear that fully. Definitely. So you've given it away now. So talk to us a little bit about your early days in life, because persons who are in St. Martin within the Methodist circuit, both the southern and northern side of the island, know about you here on the island since you have come to the island with your husband, Mr. Richardson, for the time that you are here to serve. But let's go back a little bit, some years back on the early years of Reverend Corrine White Richardson. Can you share with us a little bit about what were those early years like? Were you a young lady that was really drawn to God, or maybe you were naughty a bit and didn't listen to your parents, and talk to us a little bit.
Well, self-praise is no recommendation. However, as a child, a little naughty, a little nice. However, I recall distinctly at the age of 8 years old, going to Sunday school. My Sunday school teacher always shared the story of Jesus in the temple, conversing with the elders and the chief priests, and how Jesus at the age of 12 was very wise, a wise young man. And when I was 8, I said to myself, you know, when I become 12 years old, I want to be like Jesus. So whenever I share that testimony, I always pay great respect to church schools or Sunday schools, because it has helped to shape my theology a great deal. And I believe that it is the Sunday school that really helped me to make that first step to consider being a minister of the gospel for Christ, you know. So that's basically how my life has been. Church, a lot of music was in the area as well. And I loved music as a child. I grew up just loving music, and I loved to dance then, and I still love to dance now. So that's basically about me.
That's really interesting.
From a rural area in Jamaica, yes.
Mm.
A very humble beginning, yes.
Wow. You know, as I listen to you, and as far as back as you can go, as 8 years old, that is amazing to have that memory. Because for some persons, you know, they think, well, what was I like when I was age 6 or even around those ages? And you know, for you to still be able to remember that, that is a really awesome. And thinking about the impact that Sunday school had in your life from an early age, you know, as I think about that self, and we'll go on to as your years advance, talking about Sunday school, and not because of the fact that you're a reverend, but what can you say about how Sunday school, you know, has evolved to this day now, the 21st century, to when you were 8 years old, and as far as you can remember back then? What can you say about Sunday school today in the 21st century? Is it about the same, or there's been changes?
I don't think there has been that great of a change, that much changes have taken place from my time. However, with the internet and so on, and I think that is a little change in that area. But the message remains the same. The superintendent, the teachers are creative now as they were then. And sometimes we may think the children are not listening, or they might not be paying much attention. But believe you me, that seed that they sow can bear much fruit, and I am a testimony to that today.
Hmm. You know, thinking about it, and I appreciate that. And we're talking about Sunday school here in the Caribbean, and I'm just thinking, could that be still the same around various other places, do you think, in America? Or because of the fact that, you know, you communicate with other reverends, other ministries, etc., do you think that's about the same, or it's changed somewhat?
In terms of the attendance at church school, and maybe the parenting skills and so on, have changed a little because of the changing scenes in life, as we would say. But as I said, basically the principles and so on of the word of God remains the same, really, you know.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening here live on Love and Inspiration. My special guest is Reverend Corinne White Richardson. She's a circuit minister here on St. Martin of the Methodist Church. And we're talking with her today on the show as we get to hear a little bit about her life story. You heard about how things were for her back as the tender age of 8. And we're going to move a little bit into your teenage years, Reverend. What can you share with us a little bit about in the teenage years? Were you someone who enjoyed a little party with friends, or it was really somewhat like, no, I'm not going there. I'm just going to keep to myself. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yes. As a teenager, to be frank with you, I realized that I started taking life very seriously. I was quite actively involved in the life of the church as a teenager. And initially, I was at the Church of God. I got christened at the Church of God church. But when I became 14 years old, I used to attend vacation Bible school at the Methodist church. And that was where I got a good teaching as well, and was encouraged to stay on. And at the Methodist church, I was involved with the youth work, and I was so actively involved in the life of the church. And I also was going to high school at the time. So balancing my church work and my responsibilities at church and the school, I had to take my life quite seriously. So I never used to go out and party because it was time to study or to prepare for some message at church or to lead, you know. So my teenage years, pretty serious years.
And yes. You know, I am following you fully. And why I'm going to ask you this, because today, again, with the changing of scenes in the 21st century, and we have all that is happening around us, COVID and you name what, for young people, you know, it could be very challenging. And as you stated, you started to take life seriously. And I'm pretty sure that when you say you started to take life seriously, it doesn't mean that you forgot all about the fact of what being a teenager was, that, you know, you went beyond your years and then you're looking back and saying, but wait a second, what did I do with the rest of my years, like being 16, 17, 18, because I took it seriously. Yeah. But for the fact of where we are today, can you share with us on what is so important now for young persons, because there are many young people who listen to the show too, on how to deal with today's challenges as a teenager or young person?
I believe that first and foremost, that if they do not have God at the forefront of their lives, then there will be a lot of confusion, a lot of uncertainties, not knowing how to really deal with life on a whole. So being a teenager and having Christ in my life added a lot of balance, and I had a certainty of my purpose and my goal. I knew what I wanted in life, you know. So God being at the helm of our lives as teenagers, and that is where I believe parents play a very vital role in guiding their children from a tender age in the way of the Lord, so that, you know, when they grow older, they will not depart from it. So having Christ in my life gave me much balance and certainty of who I am and what I really wanted in life. So that's the main thing I would tell any young persons to do. If you do not have Christ, there is no hope there. Having Christ, you have all.
That's
and
very
God's
powerful.
Holy Spirit will guide them. Yes.
That's very powerful advice as I listen carefully to you. Reverend, I thank you for that.
Yes.
And I want to just also divert over to another important thing that came to mind, because if you think back right now, on your years, your former years, what would you say, if you really, really go back, was one of the best experiences of yours that your memory can serve? What was one of your best experiences so that you can share with the world and then they know, wow, that was really amazing for her? Talk to us.
Wow. I may need some more time to think about that more deeply, but the first thing that comes to mind again is just having Christ in my life is the best thing that has ever happened to me, because when I reflected on my life, I remember maybe at the age of 9 or 10, there was a dance competition that some of my family members had. We were at the river and they put on some secular music and we were to do a dance. And I entered the competition and I won the competition. And it wasn't sacred music, I was dancing. So when I reflected on my life as an adult now, I said, you know, I am so thankful that I gave my life to the Lord, because I would have taken another route. I see myself taking another route where my life would not have been this, I would say, beautiful, you know, worthwhile and meaningful, you know? Mm. Yes.
Okay. I thank you on that one. You know, I'm really enjoying this conversation with you. How about yourself? Are you enjoying this conversation with me and the world?
I am enjoying it.
And I'm pretty sure persons are nodding their head and saying, yes, we are too, out there in Radio Land.
God be the glory, yes.
And, you know, just thinking about it, Reverend Corrine White Richardson, as we move forward in your life, and you shared some really thoughtful things and really in-depth situations or experiences, actually, with us out there. As we just move forward a little bit to your years in the 20s and getting into where you are now in ministry, can you share with us, yeah, when did you get into ministry? And also, what would be very interesting, on when did you actually meet your husband? Because you're happily married. And we'd like to actually hear that. So talk to us a little about when you got into ministry as we build on this wonderful story with you.
Yes. When I was 18, about 18 years old, it was impressed forcefully upon my heart, because as I said, when I was 8, I made the decision that I wanted to be a pastor, be like Jesus when I was 12. But it was not until I was 18 years old that I made that decision to become a local preacher in the Methodist Church. It came forcefully to me. At first, I had some reservations because I said, as a pastor, I would be, you know, scrutinized. The persons, I would be like under the radar at all times, you know. And that was helped me to want to pull back a bit. But then I couldn't divert from the call. So when I was 18 years old, I was put on note. I was encouraged by my pastor then, who is from the UK. The first pastor was from Canada, I believe it was Reverend Jamie Britton. And then my other pastor, Reverend Conrad Hicks, and his wife, Reverend Sonia Hicks. They are now pastors in the United Kingdom, and they helped a lot in my ministry, and they helped me with the local preacher's exams. I was put on note preach, then on trial, and later on I got fully accredited as a local preacher. During that time, I was a postal clerk. I was working temporarily on and off at the post office. And at the time when I had to make a decision to either enter the ministry, to make a decision to be a pastor, to become a pastor, I got a letter from the postal department, from the head of the postal department, that they are employing me permanently. So I had to make a decision. I said, God, do you want me to stay on at the post office or do I apply for ministry? And the salary for the postal service at that time was to me quite impressive. And I said, no, this is not about the money. It is about offering myself fully to the Lord and to do his work, to win souls for, you know, for the kingdom of God. So I eventually made the decision And I was guided, as I said, by Reverend Sonia and Reverend Hicks, to Conrad Hicks, to be a part of the itinerant presbyterate, that is, to go from different places, from places to places in the Methodist Church as a minister. So I travel from island to island as a minister. So that's how basically my ministry in my 20s started.
That is very interesting. Itinerant presbyter, right? That's what it's called?
Itinerant, itinerant presbyter.
Okay. You know, these are some really interesting words, actually. And I know that you mentioned you were put a note. For the clarification for the listeners out there, what does that mean when you say put on note? What does that mean? And on trial?
Well, after maybe your minister will identify you as someone who might have the potential, because I was very actively involved in the life and work of the church, and I saw it within myself. I sensed the call, and I spoke with my minister about wanting to, be a part of this ministry. So after letting him know, he takes it to the to different meetings, and once the meeting agrees, you know, he puts me on note to say he's giving me a chance to preach, and if everything goes well, then you know I would further go on trial. Like I would preach with somebody, support, help someone to preach, and from then I will go on my own, basically, on trial. And after trial, I will do the necessary exams. And after the exams, if I am successful, then I become a fully accredited local preacher.
Wow, that is amazing. I appreciate you sharing that, because now that gives some clarity on what those terminology really meant for the listeners out there. And as we continue on this journey with you, your life story is so interesting, Reverend Corrine White Richardson, who is here live with us on the show, ladies and gentlemen. And she is the circuit minister at the Methodist Church on beautiful St. Martin, the Eastern Caribbean. So I was asking you prior to that, how did you meet your husband? Because today you're happily married. Yeah. And you spoke about also, too, the fact that having to move from place to place. Talk to us a little bit about how you met your husband, and also to what is that like, actually being a reverend, being married, having a responsibility within the ministry, and having to move around where, let's say, for instance, you may fall in love with a country and then after 2 years you have to leave. Talk to us a little bit about that. This is really interesting to hear.
Yes. Well, in the Methodist Church, we have the local presbyterate. The local presbytery, that is, if you're in your own country and want to remain there as a pastor, you can apply for that ministry. My area that I applied for, as I said before, itinerant presbytery, I decided that I want to travel. So it was my choice. I signed a contract to go wherever the church sends me. Well, in essence, wherever God sends me, I will go. So that's really the itinerant presbyterate. So I had made that decision. So in 2007, when I graduated from the United Theological College of the West Indies and the University of the West Indies, my first stationing was in the beautiful island of Anguilla. There, after serving for about a year and seeing this handsome young gentleman, after a year, we got in touch. Actually, it was one of his friends one day saw me because I was so single and I knew that I needed somebody. So there was his friend saying to me one day, Reverend White, you don't find a nice gentleman as yet, jokingly. And I said, no, do you know anyone? And he said to me, Well, all right. Just give me a chance. I'll make something. I'll sort something out for you. But one of the things, Mr. Cotton, that I remember distinctly after church, whenever I preach at a particular church, there was this elderly lady. God bless her soul. And she always said to me after worship, Reverend, I'm praying for you that you find a nice husband. She always told me. So at when this young man, now, some time ago, he sent me my husband, my husband's information. And I honestly called him. We had a chat on the phone. So my meeting my husband is really was done by what we call a wingman. It was a wingman who did the connection. Even though I know that it is God's divine will and, you know, the prayer from that elderly lady as well. So we talked on the phone and we said, okay. At the time, he was a member of one of the Methodist churches. And we talked on the phone a few times and then we decided that we'll meet each other. And after we met, we talked and so on. And we went on dates after that. And about a year, that was 2000, about a year and a half thereabout, he proposed. And here we are in wow. 2011. We got married in 2011. And he was able to move with me to Nevis as well, because after Anguilla, I was stationed in Nevis. So we moved from Anguilla to Nevis, then from Nevis to the French St. Martin. And from French St. Martin, this year we move to the Dutch side. So here we are.
Wow, that is amazing. And you know, to be honest with you, Reverend, I'm receiving text messages here. And one of them stated, wow, what such an interesting story. So you see, really, oh, wow. You are sharing a very powerful life story with the world, right?
To God be the glory. Thank you.
Absolutely. You know, just sitting down here and listen to you speak and listen to you laugh also just a while ago, I can imagine that as you shared that story with us and just reflecting back on when you met your husband and connecting with him and the lady, as you mentioned, that said, Reverend, I'm praying for you that you meet a really nice man. I could hear in your laughter that maybe brought up some butterflies like, oh, wow, I remember those good old days.
Oh, yes, because, you know, I had in my mind that the type of gentleman that I wanted, you know, the person must be a child of God and so on. But when I found my husband, when God sent him to me, he superseded, all that I thought, because I had my standard, but he was above. And persons who know my husband, I tell you, he's more than I expected, and I give God all the glory.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you know, as I listen to you carefully, and this is so very important that I'm going to ask you, because you said earlier you had an opportunity, in other words, to choose that aspect of working in the postal environment, where at that point in time, the salary would have been really amazing, but you chose to actually follow God, and you said, and you spoke to God, and this is where he directed you. And then fast forward into the years after that, you are in your ministry, you're preaching, you have the prayers of someone who's praying for you to meet a wonderful husband. And then you meet your husband and married since 2011. So let's look at this closely. And this is so very important that we're going to look at this for listeners who are glued to the seat right now, in terms of how important it is that when a decision is to be made, where you have on one hand to choose for a specific career or choose on one hand for God, what do you do and what do you choose? Because I'm thinking, if you had chosen to work in the post office, would you have met your husband today that is really who God intended you to be with? Talk to us a little bit about that in choosing decisions, making decisions.
I believe it was a very slim chance. It would have been a slim chance for me to meet my husband being in the postal department in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. But as you know, God is a God of mystery. God is a mysterious God, and what God says is for you.
Sadly, you've lost a loved one. You're experiencing complicated grief and don't know what to do. You feel you're losing your mind, or you're experiencing a dark night of the soul due to some painful life challenges and can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage or relationship and feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you're a student and struggling with your self-esteem and suffer from test anxiety. Or you're a business person hitting the glass ceiling and struggling in your business and need a breakthrough. Or maybe you simply need to retreat and hear yourself think so you may recharge and refocus. Whatever the challenges you face, Victorious Living has developed a solution for you. Call Victorious Living at 1-721-524-8731, 1-721-522-2084, or 1-888-VICTORY. That's 1-888-388-4286. Or visit us at victoriouslivingfoundation.com and transform your life today.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.